Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Let's start our program and our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church. O Lord, our God, whose power is inscrutable and whose glory is incomprehensible, whose steadfast love is infinite and compassion unbounded, according to your abundant love for mankind, look down upon your people and abundantly grant your steadfast love and compassion to us and to all those who now pray with us. For to you is befitting glory, dominion, and honor, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. I hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July weekend. My weekend was very relaxing. I came back from a very successful week-long DATEV program. And on Monday, July the 6th, we started the St. Sarkis Church 10th Annual Summer Camp Program. I'm very happy and proud to report that we have over 80 students registered and the program is going really well. Today for the podcast, we thought about something different. Because we have Group D, the older group of the summer camp program, who wanted to ask me a few questions. They are here in my office, and they will ask me a few questions, and I hope that you will enjoy them.
My name is Levon Zarabian. I've been participating in the St. Sarkis summer camp for the past 5 years or so. This year, I'm the group leader for Group D, and we had the idea of asking Der Narek a couple of questions for the podcast. So in a minute, we're going to give you some of the campers, and I'm going to ask you some questions.
My name is Margaret Sakar, and what gave you the idea to organize this camp?
Hi, Margaret. You've been with us for the past 10 years, I think, right?
Nine years.
So you attended almost since the beginning. The idea was that we wanted to create an environment for our young children to come to church, to have fun, to make friends, and also learn about their faith and their heritage. So basically that was the idea. When we started, we started for 1 week. We had only 25 or 26 students. Some of you were there when we started, right, Peter? But then we evolved. The following year, we decided to do for 2 weeks, and then the number grew. The programs were more fun, more people came, and lo and behold, this year it's the 10th anniversary, and we have over 80 students who are participating. We have exciting programs, and I hope you guys are enjoying it.
My name is Alicia Morjikian. What was the hardest part of organizing the camp?
Alicia, you also have been with us for a long time, right? I don't think we ever had any major problems organizing the camp. Because the way it worked for us is that we will identify people, we would call them, and it's very rare that anyone would say no to us. Because they know that they're coming here and they are being part of a program that is benefiting the community and the children. We have people who do not have the time to be with us, but they sponsor financially. We have others who have time and talent, and they come and they devote that time and talent just to make the summer camp a better experience for everyone.
What is your favorite part about the camp?
Lunch. No, I'm just kidding. Lunch is good, but I also like the time when we get together at church, when we pray together and we read the Word of God and we reflect on the Word of God. That is my favorite part.
My name is Tanya Oranjan. How do you feel about the number of kids that attended this year?
It's overwhelming. The responsibility that, you know, we have on our shoulders to make sure that all the campers are safe is enormous. But with that, we are happy that we are serving so many kids, and I hope that you guys are having fun.
How do you feel about the performance of the staff?
Oh, my staff is excellent. Excellent. They are commendable. They're doing their job diligently. They're here every morning, sometimes before even I arrive, and they stay late to make sure that everything is set and ready for the following day. So I have only words of compliments to give to my staff. They're doing really great.
Hi, my name is Peter Agopian, and what special activities do you have planned for the program this year?
That's a surprise, Peter. Do you want us to ruin the surprise?
I guess.
Okay, one of the special things that we are planning for this year is to take the campers to see a movie in one of the local theaters. And I will not say the name of the movie, but that is something very special that we are planning right now. And I guess it's official. I'm announcing it right now here on the podcast.
Okay. How many more years do you plan on continuing the camp?
Oh, I don't know. I plan year by year. So I'm thankful that we were able to plan it for this year. And I hope that we will be able to plan it for next year. But other than that, as long as the program is relevant and it's serving its purpose, then I have no plans to stop it. Okay. But when I see it's not serving its purpose, then maybe it's time to change.
My name is Cedric Nahas. What do you think are the major strengths of the camp?
The major strength of the camp is you guys. The fact that you are here and you are participating and your parents are trusting us and sending their children to St. Sarkis Church, that is the major strength. Another strength is the dedication of our staff, the support that we have from our community. So these are all good things that help us to perform every year.
Now we have some personal questions about you.
I'm not sure I have personal answers for you, but let's give it a try.
I'm Melanie Andriopoulos. What inspired you to become a Dead High?
Good question. I think we've answered this question in the past. And there were a number of reasons for me to become a Dead High. One of them was my early experience in church. I was part of my parish in my hometown. I used to go to church every Sunday. But also, my priest, the priest that I had in our parish, was such an inspiration that, you know, I used to wonder, what if I could be a person like him? So my inspiration started from the early days, and then I went to the seminary where I was trained, I got the education, and then a lot of prayer helped me finally make the decision to become a priest.
What kind of pressure do you feel with the responsibilities of being a Dead High?
The biggest pressure that I would say that I face is that, am I doing my job correctly? Am I satisfying the needs of our community? We have a pretty large community. We try to be pretty active in this community, but we try to make sure that the spiritual needs are met. And for that reason, we try to reach out and ask people, how are we doing? So my biggest challenge is to make sure that their needs are met. These are some good questions, you guys.
What do you do during your free time?
What's free time? I'm not sure if I have free time, but here's some of the things that I like to do in my free time. I like to try to exercise. I like to listen to music and spend time with my family and my friends. I hope that I answered your questions. This was very good. It's usually I'm the one who's asking all these questions and putting pressure on people to answer, but I felt the pressure today to answer your questions. And I would like to commend you for taking your time and thinking of these questions. And I hope that your parents, when they listen, they will be proud of you. Thank you very much. Last week, the 25th annual Eastern Navasartian Games took place in Boston. Today, I have with me on the phone my good friend, Mr. Razmik Nenejan, to tell us more about the Navasartian Games. Razmik, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Derhar.
Could you tell our listeners, what are the Navasartian Games?
Well, basically, it's a sport weekend held by home admin. Many athletes from different states, such as Chicago, Florida, Washington, New York, Philadelphia, as well as teams from Canada, participated in this tournament. So obviously, it was hosted by Boston chapter.
How many athletes do you think participated in this program?
My assumption would be about 400 athletes.
So how many from New York? How many of our participants
were
there?
New York had almost 70 athletes, which was an increase of 10 to 15 athletes from last year, which was a positive thing for New York.
Here's an observation that I would like to make. Last year, the Navasartian Games were held here in New York, and this year you guys went to Boston, and with that, there's an increase of 10 to 15 athletes. What do you think helped to raise the number of the participants?
As you know, word of mouth, they hear when kids have fun, they talk about it, and other parents want to bring their kids to join the group and for them to have the same experience.
How many teams did you coach?
Well, I coached two teams, actually three, two PV team, A and B, and the senior soccer team. And I also played for the senior soccer team, even though it was hard to compete against the 20-year-olds. As you get older, they had.
You're 25, right? So it's a little difficult. I understand.
It is.
Tell me about the achievements of our teams.
Yes. Unfortunately, the senior team did not make it, but my A team won the gold medal. We played the final game against Jersey. We beat them 5-1. So the kids were very, very happy because, you know, we've been practicing for the past few months. For them to accomplish the gold, it was a big thing. It was their first win and their first gold medal, I guess. And it just gave them joy of happiness, I guess.
Some of those kids are participating here at our summer camp program, and they are so proud of their achievement. And, I'm happy for them, and I hope that this will be a beginning of lifelong journey of playing together and being good Armenian friends together. Razmik, thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you very much for coaching our kids, and may God continue to bless you and be with you. A very respected Christian theologian speaking about faith once said, "Self-confidence is a precious natural gift, a sign of health, but it is not the same thing as faith. Faith is much deeper, and it must be deep enough to subsist when we are weak, when we are sick, when our self-confidence is gone, when our self-respect is gone. I do not mean that faith only functions when we are otherwise in a state of collapse, but true faith must be able to go on even when everything else is taken away from us. Only a humble man is able to accept faith on these terms so completely, without reservation, that he is glad of it in its pure state and welcomes it happily, even when nothing else comes with it and when everything else is taken away. It was a leap of faith that we took in September of last year when we started the podcast. And today is episode 45. I hope that we are bringing you closer to your faith, closer to your church and your heritage. We are preparing to do something special for the 50th. But in the meantime, we would like to hear your feedback, your thoughts about the podcast. How can we improve it? What are the things that you enjoy? We want your voice also to be heard in the podcast. Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 30 through 33. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy, by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. These are the closing verses of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. I want us to reflect on the humble request that St. Paul makes to the readers of his letter. He asks the readers to pray for him, to pray that may God strengthen him, because he explains that he is about to take his journey to Jerusalem, as we know from the book of Acts. And with him, he was taking the contributions that the church has made for the believers in Jerusalem. One might be surprised that someone as Paul, who was the teacher, who was an inspiration, a person who built and formed so many churches, was asking the believers to pray for him. I mean, you would wonder, how come that a person who is a source of inspiration is asking for support and prayers? But that shows that Paul was a humble person. He had his insecurities, and he was a regular human being. A human being who needed support and prayer. And he was never shy to ask the people whom he helped to turn to Christianity to pray for him. I think this is a great example that no matter how important we think we are, how respected we think we are in our society, we need the support, the love, and the prayer that our companions, our friends can give to us. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, let us ask one another to pray for us, so that in whatever that we are doing in our lives, may God be with us and bless us. The hymn today is called Anganim Arachiko. This is a hymn of repentance in the Armenian church, and it is performed by renowned singer Anna Mayilian. I hope you will enjoy Anganim Arachiko. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. I thank all my listeners. I thank our sponsors. And I thank my producer, Mr. Greg Dostor. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be always in your hearts. Thank you.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.